You're listening to KFI AM 640 on demand.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I'm laughing because there's a spot running right now. Mark Thompson here, by the way. This is our last hour together when Wendy Walsh is coming up. When Wendy comes in, I'll tell we have a history together, which I'll share with you. But anyway, we have a spot here at KFI that runs, and it's kind of hip-hoppy, right? Wouldn't you say, Jamie? It's kind of a hip-hoppy sort of spot.
Yeah, it's pretty hip-hoppy.
Yeah, and so I heard it, and I was, you know, reading some other stuff, and I heard it the other, what, it might be 15 minutes ago? And I just popped the mic on and, you know, starts talking. And Jamie's like, no, that's a commercial. So now every bit of music, I go, now, is that a commercial, or can I start speaking now? So now we're on. But it is a pleasure to have this guy with us and taking some time out. I think he's at spring training or, well, he'll let us know. He is Mr. Entertainment from the KTLA Morning News. Thanks so much in advance for being here. Sam Rubin, everybody. Come on now. Yeah. All right. What up, Sam?
I share your admiration for Dua Lipa, and I have returned triumphantly from spring training. Glendale, Arizona, home not only for the Cactus League, but home this weekend for Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes, and I heard that she did 4 hours, or close to 4 hours, in our
three and a half. It is Springsteen now in the guise of Taylor Swift. But I tell you what, I appreciate the idea that, and this is based on the reviews and conversations I had, you know, at the airport and stuff, people just loved it out of their minds. And, you know, 5 nights at SoFi in L.A. this summer, and I think the tip is to go to a place, not talk TV and radio, not a big market like L.A. or Chicago or New York, but Glendale, Arizona, or other places she's playing, because there were tickets available. They weren't great tickets, but for, you know, $150, which in Taylor Swift land is a, you know, $5 seat.
Right.
So,
right. I mean, that's, you know, $150 is what it costs to park at SoFi. You know
right,
what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Precisely.
So,
exactly.
That's a great tip from Sam Rubin you just got. If you want to go, you know, join the Swifties, you should find a less than a super major market to
Kansas City. She's playing at a couple of places like that.
Yeah. Apparently, she's the real thing by now, Sam. You got to say. I mean, she's
absolutely. You know, it was funny. There are always stories like this. We have a tape of her on our show singing that great Tim McGraw song when she was 15. And we had her on as a favor to get somebody else.
Wow, that's great. I had never heard that story. That's terrific.
She was with the former lieutenant governor. She was with Curb Records, Mike Curb.
Sure.
And it was, and I'll be honest, I cannot remember who, you know, like, oh, well, if we have her, then we get, you know, Pat Boone or whomever. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Get somebody else. So.
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny. I remember all the kids who were around American Idol when it first started.
Sure,
and in season one, because I was doing the voiceover on it. And in season one, I used to see Kelly Clarkson, and she was so impressed. Like, she was really, like, over the moon excited to meet me because I was the voice of the show. You know what I mean? Like, I'd come on at the beginning of the show, and she, and it's so funny now. I mean, now she wouldn't. You know, she would step over me to, you know, to get to the ladies' room. You know, I mean, so it's just funny how, but your story is even better because it was such a throwaway. I mean, American Idol, we knew those kids were going to turn into something, you know.
Right. Well, you know, I remember so vividly being at the then Kodak Theater for her beating Justin Guarini. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting next to a weeping Lisa Gibbons.
Wow.
Who said, and I felt the same way too, it was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And it was just, it was that that night. And it's funny, obviously the show continues on. I think I don't want to say it's lost a step or two. It certainly is not, you know, the every, what are they used to call it? The Death Star, right?
Yeah,
that
that's
would,
exactly
would defeat
right.
everything in its purpose. But,
well, two things happen. Well, first of all, now that you've replaced the announcer, I don't know if there's an announcer now, but
right,
I'm not on it
right.
anymore. Now that I'm not on the show anymore, and first of all, it's going to lose a little something.
Yeah,
but
sure. But
beyond that, I think the thing I used to say about Idol was certainly through 9 seasons, maybe even 10, they launched legitimate careers. I mean,
right,
superstar
absolutely.
Careers.
No.
The Voice didn't, even though I love that show, I think they did a great job with The Voice, It didn't have the trajectory those people who won The Voice that a lot of these idol kids did.
Well, because I think the star of The Voice then and now is still the shtick.
I see. Yeah.
And you know they have idol in multiple countries too. But you know The Voice, which of course just like Survivor, started in Denmark. You know, they have the voices in at least 25 different countries with because the chair thing is so good.
Yeah, that's the best part of the show, as you say, yeah. The shtick. But the other thing I was going to say is sort of on that point, which is Idol began to get knocked off. And so all of a sudden, the genre of finding somebody to perform is now on The Voice. It's on America's Got Talent. It's on all the different ways that people were essentially knocking off American Idol because it was such a wrecking ball. That begins to dull American Idol's ability to really attract as big an audience as they originally had, right?
Well, and it's funny because this idea continues to replicate itself. You know, the two phrases I always use is every pitch meeting in the world, it's Oprah, but she's Chinese. You know, it's Entertainment Tonight, but with an edge.
Right.
And now, you know, you heard this idea that Showtime, I really like that show Billions.
Right.
So Showtime wants to do 6 spinoffs of Billions.
What?
There's not even one, you know, spinoff of Billions because all these Yellowstone spinoffs were so successful.
Oh, I see.
And they want to do like 4 spinoffs of Dexter. Like, I didn't really like Dexter the first time.
Yeah,
so,
I did like Dexter, but I thought they brought Dexter back.
They did, and now they want to, you know. I don't know. You know,
I only mentioned Dexter because I did like it, but I thought that when they brought it back, it didn't do well, is what I heard. Yeah. But now they're going to bring well. Yeah, that didn't do well, but the other 4 right. Dexters will do well. All right.
But one thing that people might remember, and this era is totally gone, but remember going to Target and buying DVDs when DVDs were hot, and then there were all these straight DVDs, and you found in the two, depending on how old people's kids are, the two titles, Land Before Time and that movie Tremors. And they literally had Tremors 11, Tremors 12, Land Before Time 17. And sometimes they had nothing to do with those source movies. But it was easier to call some caper film, you know, Tremors 13 than calling it something else because people were at least familiar with that title.
That's really a great point that these franchises, and I thought you were going to make another point, but the franchises are the recognizable franchises are a great launching pad, and then after that, it's all in the details, you know.
Right.
But I thought you were going to make the point that you don't need to find quite the wide audience that you used to have to find. Now you can make a living on just the niche audience.
Yeah, I think that's true. And the other thing, which in the streaming world, you can make a living on good reviews slash good buzz and award nominations. I can't tell you how many people have told me, you know, series that you and I aren't even familiar with. Gee, if we could just get a Critics' Choice nomination, that would bring us a whole nother season.
It's just wild.
So, yeah,
that's the power
it's very funny how people seek that stuff out.
Speaking of the awards, I know it's been a week, but I want to talk to you about the Oscars. And when we come back with Sam Rubin, I want to talk about a couple of things that were really successes with the Oscars. And then one thing I can think of, and maybe there are others that you can think of, Sam, that they keep doing wrong. It's got nothing to do with the host or anything. I thought Jimmy Kimmel was terrific. But it's something else that it must be in the culture of the Oscars. They keep screwing this one thing up, and I want to get your impression on that as well. From the KTLA Morning News, Sam Rubin is here. More as we continue. Mark Thompson on KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to KFI AM 640, on demand.
I'm here for this Sunday afternoon. They say, you want to come over to KFI? And I said, yeah, it's great. And I said the same thing to Sam Rubin from the KTLA Morning News, and he was nice enough to join us by phone. And Sam, it's been, what has it been, a week since Oscar? Is it a week or is it?
Exactly 1 week. It might feel longer than that, but precisely 1 week.
I thought they did a lot of things well. I give them credit for having, I guess, all of those. Jimmy Kimmel joked about it. You know, Jimmy was so good, again, just to reiterate, but I thought he had the right amount of reverence for what was going on for movies and the entire thing. and yet also the right amount of irreverence. You know, I think that's a very tough balance to strike, and Jimmy did it so well.
I thought he did a terrific job. Obviously, his wife, one of the executive producers, and this time what they did, which was different, is it was in the hands of TV people. Obviously, the Academy, and the goal is to salute and celebrate the movies, but they're putting on a television show.
Yeah.
And in lieu of bringing in some movie producers to do that, they actually brought in some experienced TV hands. And the one thing, and I think in a way, Chris Rock and the Netflix special was the icebreaker to this very deliberately the week before. But, you know, how quickly was Jimmy Kimmel going to mention the slap, which maybe, if not for that Chris Rock special, might have been verboten. But I thought he did a really great job with that. And I think people tuned in to a large degree because, A, there were movies they were interested in, and B, because, you know, again, it's very rare that we have these water cooler experiences, but whether you watch the Oscars the year before or not, everybody knows about the slap now, certainly. A lot of people are aware of Chris Rock's response, and so I think a lot of people were like, well, how are they going to handle this whole thing?
Sure.
I thought they addressed it very well.
Yeah, that's a good point. The controversy, the halo effect extended into this year. You know, they did show clips, which I liked. I like the Oscars when they are giving you a piece of the films that they're celebrating. Because after all, the whole idea of a competition between movies is ridiculous. I mean, you can't compare these things at all. I mean, you know, you can't say that Everything Everywhere All at Once is a better movie than All Quiet on the Western Front. They're completely different kinds of movies, and you just can't compare them. And yet, this is the situation that's been set up, and everybody likes a horse race and predictions and all the rest. And they did show clips from the film, and I thought that was good. And they did all those awards, Sam, right? They reconfigured that entire event so to accommodate all those awards that they had sort of cut out in last year, for example.
Right. And you know what? I think it cuts a million different ways. One thing to distinguish this year, and this was not just the high-profile people, the faces and names that we knew, but this was a good crop of winners. And it, you know, what wrecks it is when you have a guy just reading a list, or when they're, you know, incredibly blasé about it. And even the editor from Everything Everywhere All at Once was like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. This is just my second movie. I mean, that was a really hilarious and very honest reaction. So I think this award season was a good award season, primarily, and I would say led by Jamie Lee Curtis. We had so many good winners. We just had good, happy winners. And also, 16 of the 20 nominees on the acting categories were first-time nominees, and that generally lends itself to sort of more excitement.
They expanded the world of the, quote, Academy, the voters, expanded it to try to represent more diversity, and isn't that what happened? I mean, there were literally thousands added, right?
Right. From X number of years ago, I think the number has grown exactly by thousands. And the idea is that the new members, for the most part, first and foremost, are younger, because the average age, you know, you had to earn X number of sort of credits or points to be in the Academy. And as a practical matter, you couldn't achieve that without decades, you know, in the business, so that tended to put you over 40, over 50, et cetera. So now they're bringing in younger people, and they're also bringing in, people from varied backgrounds. And I think that makes for different considerations, you know, for different things. And again, you cannot win. You cannot please everybody.
Sure.
Obviously, a banner year for Asian nominees, Asian winners, et cetera. And then other groups felt, gee, this was a less than year for them.
Right. One thing that the Oscars just cannot get right, we're talking to Sam Rubin from the KTLA Morning News, and we're just doing kind of a postmortem on the Oscars, pardon the expression in this context, because I feel like they cannot get this right, and that's the in memoriam segment. I mean, it's really not as hard as they seem to make it every year. You know, they need the live performance, I guess. They've always got to do that. So, okay, you get the live performance. And then they split the screen for some, don't split it for others. They don't include a bunch that they should. People love that in memoriam segment. You know, make it 60 seconds longer and include everybody.
Well, but it isn't really 60 seconds longer. And then if you conclude,
Robert Blake,
Mayberry RFD,
right.
You know, why did you not include this other person? It's a thankless thing. I mean, to leave out Paul Sorvino, to leave out Anna Hayes, to leave out some fairly major names is pretty crazy. And what they did, which was funny, they did this for a variety of categories, and I think they did this really clearly just to open the door for In Memoriam. You know, when the cinematographers, they were like, grab this QR code to learn more about the cinematographer.
Right.
And they did that, and at the end of the In Memoriam, it was like, you want to learn about more people who passed? You know, we have more on, this QR code. So that,
ask your doctor if the In Memoriam segment is right for you.
Right. So, and then... You know, I think Lenny Kravitz is a good choice, and I think that was really, compelling and good. But was it too much about him and not enough about...
It's always too much about the whoever the him is or the her is. It's always too much about the performer. And I'm sorry, Sam. I think you're right. Like, you can't ever please the whole universe. But by the way, how Paul Sorvino and Anne Heche got into the outfield on them, come on. I mean, I don't understand how that happened.
Well, no, on one level, there's no excuse from that, but I don't know. And then it was interesting because, of course, Mira Sorvino brought it up immediately. Like, wait a minute, what?
Sure.
And, that got a lot of attention. And then there...
I don't know. I think you can't win in all the ways that you've suggested. But in another sense, I just don't know why it's quite as hard as... And if you want to go split screen, then, maybe you can knock down more... in the time. I don't know. I thought they did a really nice job with the presentation. I watched the entire thing start to finish, and it's interesting to talk to you about it because I kind of been getting from you that you thought it worked as well. But
I thought, all told, they did a really, really good job. The one thing they continue to screw up, and I say this with a degree or more than a degree of
self-interest. Hold that thought. Okay. I know I got to take a break. I want to know the one thing they screwed up. We'll finish it with Sam Rubin. It's kind of our postmortem on the Oscars and including a couple other things we touched on in the first segment. So, more with Sam as we continue. Mark Thompson here on KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to KFI AM 640, on demand.
Wendy Walsh coming up, top of the hour. Dr. Wendy Walsh and I go back. We'll have a visit with her right before the top of the hour. We can review briefly some of our rich history together, which is not without controversy. So that's going on. It's been almost the entire show, Sam Rubin, and this is not, I'm not good at this stuff. I haven't mentioned my wildly popular YouTube show, which you were so good to feature on the KTLA Morning News.
And you were an excellent guest, and a question that the listeners want to know and I want to know, how is it going?
It's going pretty well. We've been on the air, 4 months now on YouTube. It's called The Mark Thompson Show. And we just passed 10,000 subscribers, which is a big landmark for, we're just going word of mouth. And if I can mention it here on KFI, as I say, I haven't mentioned it all afternoon. But it's going well, and I'm getting used to the format, which is a hybrid between radio and television. So you post a little more video, and you have to kind of think in terms of a video element. There has to be a video component often to a segment instead of radio, which it's just so much easier. You can call in here.
Sure.
You have to send a link, and the person has to appear on or at least for the most part appear with you with a video link. So there are just a few more moving parts, and of course I have a news person, producer, and so there are a lot of elements in the show that have to be balanced. But I'd say that was a very thorough response to your question. I'd say it's going pretty well. It's just a lot of work. It's a lot more work than just doing a radio show. So
you're very good at this stuff, and I tell you what, it would not stun me if at some point in 2023 KFI says, we don't need you as just the floater and the fill-in. We need you.
Oh, thank you. They've got a pretty strong lineup here, but thank you. I'm happy as a floater and a fill-in. But I did want to ask you to double back to the Oscars. You were just kind of going over the Oscars, which both of us, like Sam and myself, both really thought they did a very nice job on it. First of all, before I ask you your question, which is related to before, you'd say there was something that you didn't like. Am I right? Was that what you were saying?
What was funny is the next day, what was the number one clip?
Oh, that's a great... I've got to think... The adorable actor, Asian actor from
Ji-Hoo Kwan. No,
yeah.
It was Ashley Graham and Hugh Jackman and Hugh Graham.
Oh, right, the red carpet moment.
Right.
Yeah,
and why is that? Because what they continue to do, and I say this not just because I think it benefits somebody like me, but, you know, here you are, ABC. Chris Conley is arguably one of the best entertainment journalists ever.
Okay.
He works for you.
Right.
Isn't that the guy who should probably talk to the stars coming in?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody who does this?
Well.
But you do this every year, and it is maddening.
Well.
They hire kind of spokesmodels.
It was clear what was going on there, Sam. They hired people with immense social media following. They hired the kid inside had a TikTok following that was off the rails. Great. So you're trying to bring in new audience, and you do it through those influencers. Isn't that what they were thinking?
Well, but you know what? I bet there's a lot of people who are on TikTok who have bigger followings than NFL players. They don't have them play the game.
No, I felt that the red carpet, and I watched it all. And one of the reasons I love the red carpet, because it feels like you do get authentic moments like that.
It's absolutely better. It's better.
But my favorite is you. You know, you and Jessica are great. She's unflappable, and you are charming, and I don't know how you do it. You're just great, and you get so many moments. But you weren't there, so you have these people who are clearly, they're amateurs, just to use the word. Okay, they're amateurs
at
that.
By the way, I should tell you this, and it's a mistake for me. We're not there, not because we're not there. We are physically there. But year after year after year, as our shows, frankly, are better and more popular, ABC, the network, decides, hey, these competing shows have to end earlier.
I see.
So it's just us. So we were there until 90 minutes before, and at 3:30, they make us and E and even the local Channel 7 go off the air to allow this national show.
I wondered where you were. Okay.
That was the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't increase your audience. It diminishes your audience.
Sure.
And then when you give people a less-than show, you know, that doesn't help. And anybody knows this, and it's just some dumb accountant going, well, you know, we can get all the ad revenue because we can say we're the only ones doing it. And it's like, no, and you mess up your show. So you just want to, like, just, you know, the former president of the Academy had the same last name as me. His last name was Ruben, and I wanted to call him up and, like, we're not related, but, you know, knock, knock. come on. Don't be so dumb. But anyway,
there were that was a glaring example. But there were other examples. You just went with these people who are, you know, they're amateurs at the red carpet moment and at the conversations that have to, you know, that are going to, you might take on some choppy water, but you have to know how to do it. That's why I feel like, you know, you guys have logged so many hours doing it. For you, it's like falling out of bed.
Right. And it's fun and it's comfortable. And I'm not saying this in a self-aggrandizing way. It makes for better conversations. And what people deserve is that. And so it's, you know, you would never, and for example, you know, you would not have me, nor should you ever, host Hockey Night in America. Because I don't know. I'm the wrong person to do it. But honestly.
What? It was definitely. And I saw it live and I thought, oh, my God. I mean, this is just. And you could tell it was an unraveling that was going. You know, it was headed toward the ashes that ended up being played out across. You can find Sam on KTLA every morning. I don't know how you do it for so many years. Wow.
Well, it is fun. Here, I'll do the same. My socials are Sam on TV, which a long time ago made sense. Now I suppose it's a hybrid for everybody. But for Twitter, Instagram,
all right,
all things. Mark, it's always good to check in with you.
I love talking to you, man. Pal for so long, and you're just the best. Sam Rubin, everybody. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks.
Mark Thompson will talk to Wendy Walsh next. And there is an interesting history between Wendy Walsh and myself. I'll get into that with Wendy as we continue. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to KFI AM 640 on demand.
I guess I said hi, Mark. Somebody thought I said something else, Mark? Is that what you're saying?
Apparently. I'll get to the bottom of this.
I said, in the KFI 24-hour newsroom, and instead of just stopping speaking, I said, hi, Mark. And anyway.
Well, maybe my name is synonymous with that other word to a portion of our listeners. You never know.
That's right. I said I'd let loose with the S word, Dr. Walsh. I which is, of course, not actually what I would. I'm actually pretty conscious. I don't really cuss a lot with the mic around. You know,
I forget all the time. They have to have their hand on the button for me.
Well, you deal with them more. You know, you're third rail-ish.
I get so relaxed talking to my people, Mark, yeah, that I just think I'm home sipping coffee or a glass of wine.
Yeah,
and
letting
I just
the profanities fly, Dr. Wendy. So Wendy Walsh, Dr. Wendy Walsh and I go way back.
Oh my gosh, 100 years.
We did a talk show together for Universal Television called He Says, She Said.
And guess which I was.
I was the he says, although I do have some she says-like qualities. And Dr. Wendy Walsh was the she says. And Dr. Wendy Walsh is this, you know, brilliant, I mean, really, I mean, super smart and then gorgeous, you know, tall, beautiful woman comes into the... And so
they were fawning
all over you. It was a great... and we had Woody Frazier, who was the guy, who was a giant producer.
Right?
So the show was okay. We got the, you know, green light to go. They are sending us to this convention in Las Vegas called NAPI, and there are literally cutouts, giant, like two-story cutouts of Wendy and myself all over the big exhibition hall.
Everywhere.
Yeah. We're on the cover of, like, whatever it was, broadcasting cable or whatever the equivalent. And right before we're supposed to go to promote it, they say we can't clear enough stations to keep the...
Oh, I heard they brought in a new president, and he didn't want the old guys.
Old guys'
show being successful.
Well, here's what I heard.
Oh, let's gossip.
The way it works with syndicated television is you need to get it on enough different stations, right, nationwide. And we were supposed to follow. Universal had the show George and Alana. Remember George Hamilton and Alana Stewart had
right.
a show. Okay. This is ancient history, but this is what they couldn't keep that show on the air long enough for our show to get in for the next season. So when they lost that show, we lost all those clearances, is what I heard.
You know what I remember about those few days at NAPI? Two things. One is the first day being called into some back office and immediately being hired by Extra. So I went, like, the executive producer of Extra was there, saw that I needed a gig and pulled me in. And so at that point, I made sure I checked with Universal to make sure that the hotel suite was still on their tab and the limousine. And I called all my girlfriends and I said, get to Vegas. We are all on Warner Brothers tab.
Yeah. Unbelievable. This is the difference between you and me. And I wish I were more like you. Universal said to both of us, Wendy and myself, we're both hosts of this show. It's off. Nappy's off. Sorry. We'll take you to lunch. And have it. And Wendy was... You know, screw you, man.
Free limo and hotel? You give it to me, baby.
So Wendy still went down there, free limo, hotel, and she was a star. As I say, you know, her picture's everywhere, along with mine. But I was back in L.A. being the good boy, not going because they asked me not to. And my hotel suite was just, you know, it was just wasted.
I was there spending their money. But it was also a lot of drama for me getting to the topic of my show. Do you remember who I was dating at the time?
A lot of people.
No. My heart was in one place. It was that actor who played Hercules, Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, yeah.
And his show was at NAPI, too. But he wasn't talking to me. He had ghosted me. And
I thought
didn't know
you
where
went
he
down
was.
There and met him
oh,
down there.
Oh, I did. No. But then once we got to NAPI, it was the next NAPI. And all of a sudden, it was this discomfort.
Oh.
And as a result, we saw each other for the first time after he ghosted me in a crowd. And you would think my insides, this is how attachment anxiety works. My insides were turning inside and out. Should have been the happiest time of my life. And I was just like ready to throw up.
Wow.
I had a physiological reaction.
But let me just understand this. I had always understood that you went down there, which was so smart to go down there. I wish I had done it. And you met Kevin Sorbo there on that trip. Is that
maybe
wrong?
Maybe it was the next NAPI that we broke up.
Yeah.
Probably a year later.
I heard that.
That's what
I'd heard you.
Yeah, I got a job, a boyfriend, and
yes,
a limousine. It was
right.
a good
and,
week
and,
for
and
me.
And your boyfriend was a big star. So, yeah, you had a great time down there, I know. Anyway, but that's how far back we go. Now you're you have a doctor in front of your name.
And so it's great. Kevin Sorbo was a guest when I was co-hosting The Doctors. He came on as a guest.
Did you confront your troubled history?
Okay, no one's listening, right, Marcus? So I have to just gossip for a minute. So you know how syndicated shows, they love to catch people kind of candid camera style, leave mics on or whatever. And they had known about this whole drama years before. And I knew he was going to be on the show. And I warned them it would be fine. I'm fine now, whatever. So a producer comes to me just before the segment. She goes, oh, he's waiting over in this green room. Go, he wants to say hello to you. And I walk into this room. There's not a piece of furniture anywhere. I know there are mics and cameras. It's like a, sure. a rigged room.
Set up.
And there's nobody anywhere.
Not even well set up.
Not even well set up. Right. And so I'm acting all like, so good to see you again. And so you're married, you have children. Oh, that's lovely. Blah, 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 blah. He didn't know the room was rigged. So he was going on about, I didn't even want to marry this woman. I don't know what happened.
Oh,
blah,
blah. My.
He's like, I'm just like, oh my God.
That seems like it violates a couple of ethics kinds of restrictions.
I don't think the video's gone anywhere. I don't think Dr. Phil's people used it, but I knew I was being recorded, so I was being extra careful with my words.
That is wild. Well, it's so good always to see you, Dr. Wendy Walsh.
Good to see you, Mark.
And I'm looking forward to your show, which starts in just a few minutes. I'll mention again, you can find me on YouTube, The Mark Thompson Show, but tomorrow and for the next few days, I'll be filling in for Gary on Gary and Shannon, which will be a lot of fun. So looking forward to that. It's all happening here on KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
KFI AM 640, on demand.